Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes. We're going to start with Perek Tes. I want to give a short hakdama to learning Navi, and then a short hakdama to having a king, which is the mitzvah in this week's parsha. Okay, and it will be an excuse for me to tell you a ha'ara that I was just felt driven to tell somebody. So I'm happy that you'll be here to listen. Okay, very very interesting nekuda about having a melech. But just first about Navi, the Nevi'im, Chazal tell us that if Klal Yisrael had not been Chayte, there would just be Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. That means that everything past Sefer Yehoshua exists to help us out of the dark places in our life. Right? It exists because of Chayte. And that means, and this is the way that Klal Yisrael relates to Navi, that the words of the Nevi'im are words from a Navi that are supposed to be mechazik us and give us musr, put us in our places and help us grow. Except that the difference between every other Navi and the Nevi'im that are part of our Mesirah, of our Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, is that the Nevi'im of the Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh are the ones whose words are eternal. It wasn't just for the moment, but it's eternal. So that means that when we're learning Sefer Shmuel, and we're learning what happened when Shaul HaMelech was looking for donkeys, and you feel like we're just taking another history lesson of the history of the Jewish people, it's much more than that. Each Pasuk and Navi, as we'll see, has chizuk for us that's negeh l'mais of our lives. And that's the way I want to learn the Navi. So I want to point out the different chazal, and if there are fascinating things, I want to mention them. And if there are words that are interested, I want to play around with them. And if there are tzushtels to other parshiyas in Navi or in Chumash, I want to explain them. But my main goal is to walk away with more Yirat Shamayim. Okay, so I need you to be my partners in that goal. Okay? That's Aleph. That's in terms of understanding the Pesukim. Now, it's interesting. What's interesting is that in Parshas Shoftim it says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the Amarta that you should say, Osima alai melech kechol agoyim asher svivoysai, I will place upon me a king like all the nations around me. So it sounds like the appropriate thing is for Klal Yisrael to say we would like a king like all the nations. In Sefer Shmuel, before Perek Tes, I'm just giving you a little bit of a background story. The Klal Yisrael, what happened was the Shmuel got old. Shmuel was a very, very, very powerful Navi. In fact, when we say in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibal Torah misinai, u'mesara li'Yoshua, v'Yoshua li'zakenim, u'zakenim le'nevi'im, the haschala of the tkufas ha'nevi'im started with Shmuel ha'Navi. Even though there were nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. But from the time, the Svarim say, that from the time, Reb Tzadik has a whole arichas about it, that when Shmuel HaNavi became a Navi, there was a rush through him, through his greatness. He was an incredibly great person. It was just, people were becoming Nevi'im all over the place. It was like I brought my son to Eretz Yisrael last year on one of my visits to Eretz Yisrael, and I brought him to my Rosh Hashiva. And my son Yaks had gone through a difficult tkufa. And I brought him to my Rosh Hashiva and I said, my son went through a difficult tkufa and he's a warrior and he worked through it and I'm so proud of him. And I brought him to Eretz Yisrael out of a sign of how proud I am of him. So my Rosh Hashiva turned to my son, he had a whole conversation with him, and he said to him, tell me, what do you want to do when you get older? So my son said, I want to be a Rebbe. You have to understand the chiddush. My son spent a year out of school because of anxiety. Okay, so this was not like everybody else. It wasn't like that, you know. It was he said, I want to be a Rebbe. So my Rosh Hashiva said to him, I want to tell you how you become a Rebbe. You don't become a Rebbe by learning how to be a Rebbe. You become a Rebbe by filling up on Torah so much that it just starts to spill out all over. And the people around you that catch the spill, those are your Talmidim. But the idea, there's a lot to talk about that, but the idea is that Nevuah worked that way. Shmuel HaNavi became a conduit for Nevuah. Every Talmud that gathered near Shmuel became a Navi. In fact, I want to teach you a Yesod, a very interesting Yesod. And that is, I'm going to talk a little bit fast because there's a lot to say, okay? Okay, there's a lot to say. I'm going to talk fast, okay? There's a lot of different topics and branches, and I'm trying to keep track of it, so... But you find in the Gemara sometimes that there's a phrase, B'nei HaNaviim. It's a Navi also. That's where it comes from. Like, for example, someone who says, how am I supposed to know, will say, Loi Navi Anoichi V'loi Ben Navi Anoichi. I'm not a Navi and I'm not the son of a Navi? What does that mean? You should know that the term B'nei HaNaviim means the Talmidim of the Naviim. The Talmidim of the Naviim also had some level of Nevuah. That's what it means. Like Navi Anoichi, but like Ben Navi Anoichi. I'm not an assistant Navi and I'm not a regular Navi. In any event, Shmuel HaNavi was the Navi, and he brought Klal Yisrael through a tkufa of unbelievable, unparalleled Hatzlacha, and they thrived. But as it came towards the end of his life, when he became older and weaker, and keep in mind that Shmuel HaNavi's older was a Gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel HaNavi passed away when he was 52. Okay, sobering thought. I'm turning 51 in a few weeks. Okay, he passed away when he was 52. And Shmuel, I'm not going to get into the Gemara now, it's a Gemara in Tainus, that Shmuel was Kofza Olav Zikna. He aged. He aged early. And because of that, he lost his Kaychas. His children were not on the same Adrega as him. Leholchu Bedrachav. And Klal Yisrael was a little frustrated. And they said to Shmuel, we would like a king L'shafteinu Kechol Agoyim. Shmuel was devastated and upset. He felt like it was a major yerida that Klal Yisrael was asking for a king. Even though in Parshas Shoftim it says you should ask for a king. And the pashut pshat is that the reason they were so upset, this is my hakdama to where, I hope we'll have time to start, but this is my hakdama to where we're starting from of the appointment of a king. Shmuel was devastated. The pashut pshat, the reason why he was devastated, is because they didn't come to Shmuel to say, we want a king, this is the parasha in the Torah. They came to Shmuel and said, we want a king because your children are not doing the job. That's what you would say, pashut pshat. But there's a much, much, much deeper pshat. What upset Shmuel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Shmuel with something that's a very big lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, first of all, it's not you, it's me. I know it sounds cliche, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. They're not rejecting you, Shmuel, they're rejecting me. And second of all, he said, and Afal Piken, you should listen to them. It's a very, very big lesson in Chinuch that sometimes parents or Rabbeim, when a child or a Talmud is not living up to what the Rebbe or the parent thought they should live up to, there's a certain distancing or constantly reminding them of where they wanted them to be. You know I wanted you, you know, like that type of thing. But you see from the Sefer Shmuel, not that way. You see that when someone's on a certain level in a certain place, the job of the mechanech is to be mechanech that person. Rabbi Kalish and I used to discuss many, many times that when yeshivas fail, they fail because they're trying to be mechanech the boy they want, not the boy they have. And it's not the job of a Rebbe. A Rebbe needs to be mechanech the boy in front of him, not the boy who he hopes he can recruit to come to the yeshiva if he teaches a certain way. It doesn't work that way. Okay? And it feels counterintuitive, but focus on your teaching, on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do. The Talmidim, if they're supposed to come, they will come. That's the, you see, Mamash from Sefer Shmuel. In any event, I want to teach you what the purpose of a melech is. And if you understand the purpose of a melech, you'll see what Shmuel was so upset about. And in order to explain to you the purpose of a melech, and because it's Thursday night at Parashat Shoftim, I want to share with you a ha'ara in the pasuk, Pesukim in Parsha Shoftim. The Pasuk says that you're going to appoint a king. And the Pasuk says, I'm not even going to read it inside, I'll tell it to you about Pe. The Pasuk says that you should, the king should write his own Sefer Torah. Except, as Shalom could tell you, the Pasuk does not say he should write his own Sefer Torah. The Pasuk calls it Mishnei HaTorah. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol should write Mishnei HaTorah? So Rashi has two Perushim. Rashi and Parsha Shoftim. Two Perushim. One is that Mishnei Torah means a repetition of the Torah, right? See, he says the Sefer Torah wrote not one, the king wrote not one, but two Sefer Torah. He had one, to quote Rashi, that the king would keep the base Genozov in his hiding place, like Nignaz, and another one, Shayotza v'nichnas imoy, that went in and out with him. That's one pshat in Rashi. The other pshat in Rashi is that Mishneh Torah is Miloshen, Rashi says, Miloshen Pashegen Aksav, like in Megillas Esther. And it means an expression of the Torah. Like when you express something, it's supposed to be Mishanein, like Shinun. Like Vishinantum Levanecha. Right? It's to teach your children, it's to express the Torah. So one pshat is Mishneh Torah, is two Sifrei Torah, one in private and one when you're going in and out. And the other one is an expression of the Torah. My question to you, in our search for understanding what is a king adding to Klal Yisrael, and of course, based on my Hakdama, what is a king adding to Klal Yisrael, and what has that got to do with me in El Tavshim Pei Dalid? We don't have a Melech. Obviously, if we're learning this, we have to be able to plug it back in here. I want to understand what's the point of two Sifrei Torah, what's wrong with one. And I want to understand what's the point of calling the Sefer Torah the expression of the Torah. Just call it a Sefer Torah. I know what a Sefer Torah is. Call it a Sefer Torah. And the Pshat is based on a Drashas Haran. Rosh Hashiva has quoted this Drashas Haran Kama Pa'amim. It's, I think, Drush Yud Aleph. Of course, he would know exactly. But I think it's Drush Yud Aleph. And the Ran asks Akasha, that's a very, very important question. He says, Klal Yisrael already has a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin already paskins Shilas. What's the difference? What's the division of power? What's the balance of power between the Melech and the Sanhedrin? And says the Ran, unbelievable, says the Ran, that the Sanhedrin's job was to deal with the Torah part of Klal Yisrael. Limud HaTorah, Takanos, Din Torahs, all in Yonam that are Negea to the Torah and its implementation. And the job of the Melech was to be an administrator, was to deal with the issues that a country has to deal with. Should we have taxes? Should we raise taxes? Should we lower taxes? Should we build a bridge over here? Should there be a toll booth? Should we go to war? How should we react? Should we make a treaty? All of these things, the Hanhogas Ha'am, that's what the job of a melech is, says the Ran. That's why the Pasuk says in Parashas Shoftim, Asima Alai Melech Kechol Hagoyim. Because the job of the melech is the same as a king would do in any country. Now, if that was the job of the Melech, we would not be so concerned with the whole Inyan of Malchus. It would not, the one that does the dishes, like, why is that a concern to us? No. It goes much deeper than that. The Melech's job is to deal with Inyanei Rishus. But to deal with Inyanei Rishus with clarity, what the Torah would want you to do in that situation. You have to make decisions sometimes that are not in Shulchan Aruch. Where should I go for Shabbos? Which yeshiva should I go to? Should I go winter vacation back to Eretz Yisrael? Is there a seif in Shulchan Aruch you could look up? Is there a Mishnah Berurah, maybe a Bir Halacha about it? No, it's Divrei Rishus. It's things that it could go this way or that way. If you want to make a decision, or even more intense, should I marry her? Imagine when you have that decision. Should I marry her? I'm going to ask a shayla. Maybe it's a shach. No, there's no place to look. It's not in the Torah. What's your goal? When you're deciding if you should marry her, what's your goal? You want to try to understand what Hashem would want you to do. That's a very big madrega. To try to understand, what would Hashem want me to do here in this situation? The Melech had to do that with every decision about the entire Klal Yisrael. He had to have such clarity in the Ratzon HaTorah, and that's why he walked around with a Sefer Torah. The Melech had to be a Talmud Chacham Muflag. Such a Talmud Chacham that he could read between the lines. It's incredible. And that's the Chisaron. When Klal Yisrael asked for a Melech, they didn't say we want a Melech that will do what all the other nations of the world do. They added a key word, the Ran points out. In Parashat Shoftim it says, Asima alai Melech kichol agoyim. But in Shmuel, if you look back, it says, Asima alai Melech lishofteinu kichol agoyim. Mishpat is not the job of the Melech. So that was their mistake. Now Rabbi say, if that's the case, think about it. Think about how it works. A person, let's say, let's talk about us, okay? A person, let's say, grows up, goes to yeshiva, spends his years in yeshiva, gets married, settles down, has a job. Okay? He has a lot of different aspects of his life. He has his marriage. It's funny, I'm using it as a mushal and a nimshal. It'll be a mushal to what we're talking about, and then it will go back around and be the nimshal, okay? But a person, he has a wife, he has to interact with his wife, he has children, he has to interact with his children, he has a job, he has co-workers, male, female, Jewish, not Jewish, religious, not religious, it's complex. Okay, he has to travel, comes with a whole other host of issues. And he has to be able to have his relationship with Torah that's not about everything else, that's just, Friday night, the house is quiet, a hot cup of tea, and a delicious tosfos. You need that relationship with Torah. That's my internal connection. It's my engine. It's my battery. It's my love. It's my pnimius. My connection with Torah. But I also need to have a connection with Torah that I'm applying the Torah everywhere in my life. That's the two Sefrei Torah. One Sefer Torah for the Melech that's Bebeis Genazav. It's in his hidden places. It's his own hidden personal relationship with Hashem. But there's also the Sefer Torah, Sheyotze V'nichnas Imay. It goes out and in with him. He takes it with him. It's the Sefer Torah that symbolizes every decision I make is going to be based on the Torah. And that's why Mishnah Torah means the expression of the Torah. The king doesn't need just to learn Torah. He needs to know how the Torah expresses itself in every area of life. So Dafka here, in Parsha Shoftim, it's Mishneh HaTorah, the expression of the Torah. And that's what's going on. That's what we're looking for. So when we're about to start a perek that describes this person, Shaul, that we're about to meet, and the unbelievable process, we'll see his story, it'll take us some time to get through the fascinating story that ended with Shaul being anointed Melech on Klal Yisrael. We have to realize that we're looking for that first person to be able to take this role of bringing the Torah into the areas that are not usually lit up with the light of Torah. And that's the Divrei Rishus. Okay, so that we're ready to start our journey. Okay, let's begin. So says the Pasuk, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi Ish Mi Binyamin. There was a man from Shevet Binyamin. Shevet Binyamin was a very small Shevet at the time. There was this very sad story of Pilegesh Begiva that had happened earlier. That there was a civil war. And Shevet Binyamin was almost decimated. So it was a very small Shevet. You would expect that it wouldn't be producing the strongest, most powerful people in Klal Yisrael. But there was an exception here. There was a man in Shevet Binyamin. Whenever it says Ish, by the way, it's an element of Chashivas. Okay, there's an element of Chashivas when it says Ish, most often. The Ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. The Ha'ish, Ish is a lashon of godless. So vayhi ish mi Binyamin, there was a man from Shevet Binyamin, ushmoy Kish. His name was Kish, and we get his whole yichus here: ben Aviel, ben Tzoror, ben Bechoras, ben Afiach, Ben Ish Yemini. So he was all the generations up till till this Ben Ish Yemini. The Mitzudah says that means like a Gadol from Sheva Binyamin. Like he goes back to the greatest Yichus of Sheva Binyamin. What's the pshat in mentioning all of this? What's the pshat? So let me take a page out of something that you know, right? Right, like for example, Rashi says, "Vayikach Korach ben Yitzar ben Kehas ben Levi." Right, so Korach Yitzar Kehas Levi. What does Rashi say? It doesn't say ben Yaakov. Yaakov didn't want to be involved with Korach. B'soidam al tovay nafshi, ubekahalam. That's kahal Korach. Okay? What does that mean? Like Yaakov was like, I don't want to be involved. Okay, so we'll take your name out. What does that mean? Don't mention my name. What's going on here? No, it's a very deep thing. Each one of us exists. We are the sum total of all our generations. We have the koiches, we have DNA, spiritual DNA, from the tzaddikim that precede us, from the tzidkaniyos that precede us, from the midos tovos. Even our relatives or ancestors that may not have been perfect people, but they all had beautiful, beautiful midos in certain areas and in certain ways. And we are a combination of all of their koiches. We carry that with us. Yaakov said, I don't want koirech to carry my koirech with him. It's going to be too dangerous. I'm pulling away. I'm pulling the DNA up. No. I'm not giving to Korach. So Vayikach Korach, and by the way, that's what it means, Vayikach Korach. Korach took the Ben Yitzar, Ben Kehas, Ben Levi, because it's a big shayla on the Mefarshim there, what he took. It never ends the sentence. So he took all of his koiches of his ancestors, but not Ben Yaakov. Yaakov put a stop to that. When it describes this man, Kish, it's saying he was a person that was open to carrying with him the Mesaira of Doros, his father and his Zaydi and his Alta Zaydi and so on and so forth, through the generations back to the greats of Sheva Binyamin. He carried it with him. Gibor Choyel, he was a warrior. He was a strong man, he was a warrior. And obviously when we say Gibor Chayel, we don't just mean a physical warrior. It's not that impressive to us. You know, we've seen like physical warriors, your sculpted body is not something that's like very, very impressive to us. Gibor Chayel means that he was able to be a warrior in the most complex milchama of a person's life. The milchama upon which it says in Mesilas Yesharim that each person be milchama gedayla hu oimed, that we're oimed in a milchama. Gibor Chayel is someone who's able to be oimed in his yetzar. In many places you find that. Says the Novi v'loy hoya bein, and he had a son. Now the truth is, the son is the one who's going to become the melech. The fact that there's a whole pasuk about Kish tells you that a huge part of the koyach of Shaul was his father Kish. So Shaul ben Kish, that's a huge part of it. Oh, and I forgot to mention a very, very interesting thing. This Ben Aviel, in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim repeats, it's like a history of the whole Klal Yisrael, it repeats a lot of Pesukim in the other parts of Navi. In Divrei Hayamim, it says that Kish was Ben Ner, not Ben Aviel. And there's a medrash that says that his real name was Aviel, but he had a nickname. He was called Ner because he used to light Neros in dark alleys. When it was very dark, he would put up. He was in charge of the streetlights. The Mevoyos Ha'afelim. I thought that was so appropriate for the grandfather of the first Melech, that I just finished telling you the job of the Melech is to bring the light of Torah out of the Beis Medrash into the dark places. And Taka, his Zaydi, was called Ner because literally he would light Neros in dark places. What a Mesaira to have. That was his Mesaira. And he had a son who Shmoy Shaul. He had a son whose name was Shaul. Bachur. You know, we call a yeshiva guy yeshiva bachur. Bachrim, right? What's a bachur? When someone says he's a good yeshiva bachur, what's a bachur? Is it a compliment? Is it a zilzal? What is it?
Chosen.
Bachur means chosen. It's from the choicest of Klal Yisrael. Bachurim. It's a, it's a big compliment, Bachur. Okay? So Bachur Vatayv, he's like a choice person, a chosen person, and he was Tayv, which means he had a connection to Torah. And the Navi says something here that is almost unheard of in Tanakh. The Navi says, which is unbelievable, the Ein Ish Mibnei Yisrael Tayv Mimenu. There was no man in Klal Yisrael more Tayv than him. Could you imagine? The Navi testifying, Shmuel HaNavi wrote this, by the way. Can you imagine the Navi testifying? This is part of the Torah, like this is Emes. This man that was alive, he was a young man. There was nobody in the entire Klal Yisrael that was Tayv Mimenu. Okay, we are talking now, we're already shaking. We're talking now about a very, very, very big person. Right? I mean, do you ever imagine that the Navi says that about someone? And then it says, Meshichmai Vamala, from his shoulder and up, Gavoya Mikol Ha'am, he was like a head taller than the whole nation. And the Svarim say, and maybe I'll get into this more by Richos next time, but the Svarim say that when you have that physical description in those days, the physical and the spiritual were more intertwined than they are today. You see it because you see like someone who's a Baal Mum can't do the Avoida. Today we would be like, well, you're discriminating against the handicapped. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's wrong if he's a Baal Mum? Someone is a Baal Mum means there's something wrong with them. Someone walks with a limp, it means there's a chisaron. But in those days, it was an indication of some kind of psul inside. We're not zeicha to that today. But the fact that he was v'shichmayu l'mayla gavaya, that shows that he was ro'i l'malchus. He was taka gavaya mikol ha'am. He was ready to lift up the people. He was able to look out over the nation and to lift them up. Okay, so this is our haschala. And Be'ezer Hashem will probably do it. I know I announced twice a week, but I don't want to interfere with other shiurim. That's why I extended the time. We'll probably try, for those of you that are interested, I know this is a tryout week. Nobody's meshubit to come. But we're going to do sharp. I'm going to start sharp on time. 9 to 9:30. There is a tzad. Rabbi Mirsky is deciding. There's a tzad maybe to do it at the beginning of night seder. By a show of hands, would any of you prefer that?
It's 9 to 9:30 or 8:30.
I mean 9:30 to 10. 9:30 to 10 or 8 to 8:30.
Just Thursday.
Monday.
What?
I'm not going to do Monday because Rabbi Kiel said I'm not going to do Monday. I'll probably just for now. If I just do, I think.